Hey, hey, how's it going? Good? Yes? Dude, I cannot even tell you how excited I am to be with you all. Y'all look like a bunch of highlighters out there. I see you. You look beautiful. I gotta tell y'all, I've been doing Steubenville for, this is my sixth year, and I have never been to this building. This is my first time. Can I hang with you this weekend? Yes? Is that all right? I'm from Atchison, Kansas. Anybody from Kansas here? Yes? I love you. We are your neighbors over here. And I don't know, like, the whole theme is revealed, and I can't wait to meet you guys this weekend. And I always tell people, I can tell you everything about myself in, like, three slides. So if we're going to hang out, these are, like, the three slides to get to know Sarah Swafford, all right? This is my husband. This is Swaff. So, I know, isn't he? That's a very large picture of us. He's really cute. Okay, so we've been married 13 years. His name's Andy. No one calls him Andy. Everyone calls him Swaff. Our last name is Swafford. He's actually a professor of theology at Benedictine College, so we call him, I know, everyone calls him Doc Swaff or Swaff Daddy or P. Diddy Swaff. My personal favorite is David Hasselswaff, but you don't know who that is. We've been married 13 years, and every time I put this picture up, all the girls are always like, Sarah, he's cute. I'm like, I'm aware. He's a very good-looking man. He is cute, but not as cute as our kids. These are our kids, so. I know. Aren't they cute? They're so cute. This is Thomas. Any firstborns in the house? Anybody firstborn? Yep. Me too. Thank you for being so helpful. Your mom loves you. This is Fulton. Any Archbishop Fulton Sheen fans in the house? If you don't know him, get to know him. When we were naming Fulton, I was like, Swaff, this would be so good. Like, if he's like an academic and he's super smart, he can like smoke a pipe and like wear a bow tie and be like Sir Fulton Swafford. Like, that totally works, right? Or if he's an athlete, like running through a tunnel, it's like Fulton Swafford. Like, yeah, that works, right? He's got any second born in the family? Anybody out there? Number two? Yeah? Fulton. This is Kate. So Kate is 7. She's going straight to the convent. She's very excited about it. So she's discerned well. Sisters of Life, right? I don't know where they're at, but if they're here, yes. That was a joke. She's just really beautiful, and I don't know what to do with her, right? So any only girls out there? Yeah? Only girls in the family? Yeah? Me too. This is our baby. This is Colby Joseph. So he's named for St. Maximilian Colby. He's edible. You can just like pop him in your mouth, right? He's just really, he gets no attention. We're really worried about him. So this is my family. Oh, this is Colby's kind of holy as well. This is Colby. This is his moment in time that will be lived forever in infamy. Where's the, dude, it's a video, but now it just looks like, sorry, scared you. So this was a big moment for Colby a couple months ago. That's Colby being kissed by Pope Francis. What? Right? I'm so glad I didn't drop my phone. I was like, what's happening? I don't know what's happening. I didn't have words for it. I was like, dude, that's amazing. So he's holy. He's a relic. We're really excited about that as well. So this is my family. And I always love to show this picture because everyone looks at this picture and they're like, oh my gosh, like, your perfect family. I'm like, lies. Have you guys all had that family picture day where it's like really cold and you have like snot running down your nose and your mom's like, I'll give you ice cream. I'll give you pizza. I'll give you $20 bill. I just need you to smile right now, right? You want a pony? I'll get you a pony, right? Like, that was this day. Do you guys see my baby? That's a rock on his head. That's a rock. It's a boulder, really. Let's be real, right? Like, you guys, we took over 200 pictures that day. This is the only one where we are all six looking at the camera. One, right? The reason why we're insecure is because we compare our behind the scenes to everyone else's highlight reel. Amen? The reason why we're insecure is we look at everyone's highlight reel and we're like, oh, that's not what my life looks like. That was a highlight reel. And I want to be real with you this weekend because we real, right? So I brought my behind the scenes. You all ready for it? This is like the most epic minute of my life here. My video guy in the back. He can roll this. Okay, so this is just attractive. This is me. I just love this bit. I put this together for you. This is a great look. This is me trying to figure out faces. I'm not very good at it. Yep, that one's like, this is me, no makeup, hair in a bun, headed to McDonald's. This is my triple chin. This is a great angle. This is a still shot of my triple chin. This is me just looking constipated. I don't know what that is. This is epic of my child. Kate for the win on this family picture. Colby's a mess, always, just a mess. Kate was coloring. What's wrong, Mom? This is Christmas card worthy. This is normal. His favorite hat is my shower cap. Lots of up the nose pictures on my phone.
Hi.
This is Colby.
Colby. Hello.
Colby doesn't understand that he just can't, he just dies every time. Just dies and dies. And just hits and
Ow.
Dies. And this isn't me, but I wish it was me, because this is just real. Like, amen. Like, I just, okay, so yeah, like that. Oh yeah. I want to be real with you guys, because I come and I stand before you as someone, Chris said it so beautifully, like, who is God the Father and therefore who am I? The world has all kinds of ideas about who you are. I call it the world's idea perfect, right? Guys, girls, everybody, like the world has this world's idea perfect for you. You know, nobody talks about it, but it's like everyone plays this game, right? All ladies, what do you have to be like, size -2? Like big doe eyes, like perfect bangs, flawless skin, 5'11". Good luck with all that. If you can't figure it out, Pinterest has at least a million videos to help you out, right? What would we do without Pinterest? I don't know, I couldn't cook, but whatever, right? Like you have to have that group of women that follow you around in real life, trophy boyfriend on one arm. All the girls want to be you, all the guys want to be with you, and everybody knows it, but nobody talks about it because it's the world's idea perfect, right? And all the fellas out there, what do you have to be like, you know? I get this image of like a rapper in a white tux with like a gold grill and shades, and he's like standing on a car, and there's like cash falling from the sky, and like there's like women crawling up his legs, right? And he's just like standing on the car just like, yep, I'm Port Malone, right? Like, this is who I am, right? Like, no, let's be real, it's Harry Styles. But whatever. I mean, like, it's good. Like, it's whoever, Menendez, the dude, the Menendez, Sean, you know, whoever it is, right? Fellas, what do you have to be? Chiseled and charming, successful at everything you touch. You can be an athlete or a musician or an artist. We don't care. Just don't screw it up, right? Like, just be successful. You have to have this group of guys that follows you around in real life, the trophy girlfriend on one arm. All the guys want to be you, and all the girls want to be with you, and everybody knows it, but nobody talks about it, because it's the world's idea perfect. And you lay in bed at night, you scroll on your phone, and who do you see? Celebrities, right? You're like, oh, dude, you have $50 million and, like, a personal trainer, and we're just very happy for you, right? But you keep scrolling, and who is it? It's not just, like, celebrities anymore. It's everybody that came with you this weekend. It's your best friends. It's the people you pass in the hallway every day. And it's so easy to take your phone, like me, and just to like put it on your nightstand and be like, why do I feel worthless? Like, where is this feeling of like, dude, I'm hustling, like, I'm trying my heart, like, I'm putting everything out there, and like, I just feel worthless. Why? It's because we look at the world's idea perfect, and you guys have unbelievable expectations and pressure put on you. You guys, I went through junior high, high school, got engaged, got married, had 2 kids, before I even knew what social media was. I'm 35, not 85. Everyone's like, dang, how old is she really, right? Let's all figure it out, right? You guys, look at me. I missed social media by 1 year. 1 year. And I stand before you, just, I mean, honestly, just I look at you and I say, I'm so proud of you for the fight that you're putting up. Because you guys, I was a hot mess in high school and I didn't even have a phone. I don't know how I would have walked that walk in the road that you guys are walking. I'm so proud of you. But it messes with you. The world likes to mess with you. The world likes to mess with me. You guys, I was bullied so bad in junior high, I had to switch schools. I walked through those halls. I had girls that would drop notes into my book bag. I know what it feels like to walk through life with these 2 questions burning on your heart. And I know you ask them, am I enough? And am I ever going to be truly loved? Am I enough? And am I ever going to be truly loved? Those wounds that were put on my heart during that time left me with a lot of questions. I questioned my worth a lot. And it made me question. I would go to different people, you know, it's like, I would go to different groups, be like, in my mind, in my heart, you know, I'm thinking, am I enough for you? Like, am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I pretty enough? Am I creative enough? Am I athletic enough? Would you date me? I remember just thinking all of those questions, the same questions that burn on your heart, just like, what am I enough? And what happened was, is I started building these walls, and I had all these different facades. I could be this person to these people. I could be this person to this people. I mean, I could change it up. I was like a chameleon, and I started building all these walls. And what I started to notice was, not only was I building up walls to protect myself because I didn't want to be hurt again, but I also was building up walls with God. I don't know what, I mean, I saw him as like, I sidelined him. He was kind of like this ATM genie in a bottle, teddy bear, Santa Claus of a thing, right? Like, I don't know what he was. I don't know what he was in my life, but I knew deep down that I did not want him to get close because I was so terrified that I wouldn't be enough for him. And this began this cycle where I would just go through life questioning, am I enough? Am I ever going to be truly loved? I walked down some dark alleys looking for what I thought was going to be the answer to fill me up, to make me enough. I know that walk. I know the walk that you guys are walking. And it kept spinning onto what I call the cycle of use. And it hurt. I know that you guys face it too. I don't have to even explain it to you. The cycle of use, right? Men use women to get what they want, and women use men to get what they want. Women hate each other. Men don't know how to be friends. Women use men, men use women. Typically, men will use women emotionally, where they're most vulnerable, where they can manipulate them and get them where that hurts, right? To get what they want, which is sex. And women will use sex or their bodies or what they know they have to offer and throw it out there to get what they want, which is to feel loved or to feel romanced or to feel desired or to be honest, to feel anything at all, because they're just so tired of feeling empty and not enough. And men use women emotionally and physically, and women use men emotionally and physically, and it just goes like this. It's just this cycle. And I was just trapped in it for so long. Close your eyes for a minute. Just for 1 minute, close your eyes. I want you to think about a time in your life where you were used, either emotionally or physically, or maybe even both, and you knew it. Or maybe think about a time in your life where you used someone else, either emotionally or physically, or maybe even both, and you knew it. Or maybe think about a time where you watched your best friend be used emotionally or physically or maybe even both and you knew it. Or maybe it was a time where you watched your best friend or someone you love use somebody else and you knew it and you didn't know how to help or what to do. Okay, you can open your eyes. Take a deep breath in. Let it out, right? Those are four of the heaviest questions that I could ask you or that you could ask me, because there's not a single person in this room that hasn't been affected by the cycle of use in some way and has the wounds to show for it. The world's idea of perfect feeds the cycle of use, and it hurts. And we walk around wounded, and I stand before you, I'm with you in that. When I went to college, somebody called it out for me. And I'm going to teach you two sentences that I want you to put on little fortune cookie pieces of paper, and I want you to put them in your back pocket, okay? I want you to pull them out and use them whenever you need to. Repeat after me. I will not use you. And I will not let you use me. Ooh. Can you think of any two more powerful sentences? One more time. I will not use you. And I will not let you use me. Whew. I went to college pretty broken. And I ended up on a retreat. And I went into this adoration chat, you know, the adoration Saturday night. And there was confessions going on. And I remember going into the confessional. And I just laid out my life to this amazing priest. And I just laid it out. My insecurities, my fears, my mistakes. Everything I was struggling with. Everything I was ashamed of. I just laid it out. And this priest looked at me and he said, Sarah, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to build a box. And I want you to take everything that you're struggling with, all of this, and I want you to put it into that box. And I want you to put it at the foot of someone who can actually do something about it. I want you to put it at the foot of our Lord. And I want you to fall into his arms. And I want you to let him love you like no human can. Because you keep going to all these people asking for them to be your Savior and to be your God. And Sarah, you don't need a Savior because you don't need them to be your Savior because you already have one. His name is Jesus Christ, and you don't need any other person to be your Savior. And they're going to disappoint you every time because they cannot be your God. Amen? And I fell into our Lord's arms that night. And that priest told me, he goes, you just let him love you and heal you and transform your heart. And when you feel strong and whole, you get up and you run. You run with him. And then he told me for my penance, it's to go out and sit in front of our Lord in that adoration, in front of that monstrance, and let him love you for the first time like never before. And I went out there, and I saw it with new eyes, you guys. Just like I pray you do tonight, you see him with new eyes. And I looked at that monstrance, and I said, who am I? And it was very clear. He said, you're mine. God the Father wants to reveal to you his love. You, your identity is a beloved son or daughter of God. It's not your labels. It's not your performance. It's not your grades. It's not what you think is going to make you happy. It is being a beloved son or daughter of God. That's my identity. That's yours. What does that mean? This is what it looks like. To be a beloved son or daughter of God, this is what it means. Beloved sons and daughters of God the Father is who we are. We're beloved sons and daughters of the Father who created all things, including you and me, out of love. We're beloved sons and daughters of God the Father who gave his only begotten Son to suffer and die on a cross to save us from sin and death. Beloved sons and daughters of the Father who raised Christ from the dead so that we might have eternal life with him forever. Beloved sons and daughters of the most loving of fathers who promised he would never abandon us and proved it by sending the Holy Spirit to always be with us, for we are never alone. That's a lot on 5 slides. My husband always says, he's like, you know what? I don't think it's like high teachings of the church. I don't think it's hard teachings of the church. I think the hardest thing to believe is that God loves me that much. That he loves me as much as he loves Jesus Christ, his son. Me, the speck of matter, this insignificant one person in the whole world and a group of 4,000 people, like he loves me that intimately and that personally. You guys, it's really hard to wrap our heads around the God the Father, amen? It's really hard to wrap our entire head around the perfect, patient, merciful, loving God that he is, because it's hard. Why? Because we have real dads. We have real fathers, amen? Like, we have earthly fathers. You may have the most amazing dad in the entire world. You may be like me, who, my dad is one of my best friends. I owe so much to my dad. I could stand up here all night and tell you how much I love him and how excited I am because he's actually here this weekend with me on his first Steubenville. Yeah. My dad came with me, drove down here with me. Because he loves me. You may have that dad that you can go to. And you may have that dad that witnesses the love of God the Father to you. But your dad's probably like my dad also, which is he's human. You may have a dad that you're not close to at all. You may look at me and be like, Sarah, I don't want a father like the father I have. If God the Father's like my real father, I don't want that. I've been hurt. I've been wounded by my own father. You guys, the most important thing you can do this weekend is not project your earthly father onto God the Father. He's perfect. Our dads witness that love, but not all the time, right? God the Father is perfect. He loves you in ways that you can't even imagine or fathom. And it's hard for us to wrap our heads around it, but will you help me? Will you try? Because that's what he wants to reveal to you this weekend, is that love. Jesus witnesses the love of God the Father to us. Do you guys know the story of the prodigal son? Yeah. It's one of my favorite Bible verses. You're like, dude, Sarah, we're Catholic. We go to church, right? Like, we've heard, right? Can you do a favor? Will you do me a favor? Will you see the scripture with new eyes tonight? Will you read this with fresh eyes? Ready? And you guys know the story, right? Like, he goes to his father, and he says, you know what? Like, I'm out. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. I want a third of my inheritance. I want my money, and I'm out. I'm gone. And his father gives it to him. And then he says, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fat calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" I hope that washes over you in a new way. Two things that stand out to me. One, the father let him walk. Can you imagine how much it broke his dad's heart? Can you imagine your son coming up and be like, "I don't want your inheritance. I don't want your ring. I don't want your place. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want your last name. I don't want any of it. I just want to go and live it up because I'm done." And he let him walk. You guys, God the Father does not come to you. He does not force a relationship on you, amen? He loves you so much, he gave you free will, and he gave you the free will to walk away from him. That's love. There's no force here. God the Father loves you so much, he gives you free will because he knows that you have the choice to walk. That's love. The other thing I love about this story is, did you see the line where it says, "And while he was still a long way off"? And while he was still a long way off, he saw him. What does that mean? It means he was watching for him and waiting for him to come over that hill. He didn't know how long it was going to take, but he was ready. And he embraced him and he loved him. This is one of my favorite images. I just really love this. Have you ever been like wrapped into someone's like bear hug, right? That's what God the Father wants for you this weekend, you guys. Every single one of you in this room brings a different story, brings a different package of wounds. I shared some with you tonight, right? I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with the wound of rejection and dismissal. I name them in my life. I know my struggles. And they creep up sometimes. The devil knows how to use them against me. I have a friend. He is like the coolest, holiest, like most fun dude ever. Like he's just this holy, like really holy, cool, fun dude. And I remember we were hanging out one time and all these like insecurities started creeping in, like all of these thoughts. It was like, dude, he's like, you can't do anything for him. You don't add any value to his life. Like, he's just too cool for you. He's like way out. And you're like, there's nothing you can give to him, do for him, like all these insecurities. And the lie in my heart was he's gonna walk. Like, he's gonna walk. Just get ready for it. In my life, I have that. I'm like, oh, I gotta like do something to make sure that people don't walk, right? Do you guys ever feel that? And I told him, I just got overwhelmed. And I was like, dude, I can't give you anything. I can't offer you anything. All I have is like my friendship is, I don't have enough to offer you. You're going to walk. And this friend looked at me and he said, "Sarah, you're right. You can't do anything for me or give me anything or offer me anything." He's like, I just love you. I just want to be your friend. He goes, "I think what the Lord wants is for you to learn what it means to be loved by the Father unconditionally." You guys, that is the word, unconditional. That friend that told me that is one of the most amazing men I've ever met. His name is Father John Burns. He's just this cool priest. And he looked at me and he said, I think the God the Father wants you just to be loved without condition, Sarah. You guys, how many times have we said to ourselves, like, if I was just more, if I was just enough, if I was just a little more of this or a little more of that, I could make it. I would be there. I would make the team. You guys, God doesn't love you because you're good or you're perfect. He loves you because he's good and he's perfect. And his level of love for you doesn't go up or down based on your performance. Amen? Like, that is not what it's about. Unconditional love, yes? Yeah? We don't know what it looks like. It's very rare. It's hard for us as human beings, but it's real. You guys, I stand on this stage this weekend because I am here to fight for you. I'm here to fight for your heart. I want to clear everything out of the way so that you can sit in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and let God the Father gaze upon you and love you, maybe for the first time. I want you to feel what it feels like without dodging the gaze to be loved. That's my prayer for you this weekend. That's what I want. I'm here to fight for you. The entire team is here to fight for you. The band is here to fight for you. I love you. This is what I want for you, is I want you to feel the love of God the Father, maybe for the first time, maybe in a new way.